Here are these five directions, all right? So the first arrow is backwards, which is basically where we have to know where we come from. And so if I'm ever just starting, that's kind of like, what am I reading? And so if it was like John 15, that would be the backwards arrow. The two arrows that look like it's fast forward is going forward, and that is life together. And so any text that I'm reading, I'm asking the Lord or the Holy Spirit, hey, is this going to help me in my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with my community? Is this going to help me actually, as Andy Stanley says, the primary purpose of the local church is one anothering one another, is actually embodying those one anothers that you see throughout the New Testament. The up arrow is about pursuing God's presence. Is what I'm reading going to help me pursue God's presence? How is it going to help me understand that God is already here? That just as God is here at Fort, God is also in Madison. God is also in Milwaukee. God is also in Waukesha, fun word to say. God is also even in Chicago. God is everywhere. But how do I have the ideas to see and pursue his presence? And then the other one is inwards. And this is the truth that none of us have arrived. We're all a piece of work. We are all in process. And this is about our personal sanctification. And that the whole hope is that we would open ourselves up to become more whole, holy, and spiritually healthy. But every time we read through the scriptures, that word, it's like a sword. It should pierce and be able to cut away some of those pieces that are holding our life in check. And so that's the inward journey. And then the outward, how is this actually preparing me to either share my story, to talk about my suffering, to unpack how I decide to use my time or my talents or my treasure? And if you just think about those four directions every time you read through the text, I'm telling you, you will find something that you can actually quickly apply to your life. So I thought we would just try this on, all right? Just for a moment, this won't be the teach, but just for a moment. I haven't asked anyone to throw out a Bible verse or a chapter of the scriptures, but does anyone just want to throw out one right now? Deuteronomy 30. All right, we'll do Deuteronomy 30. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. All right, Deuteronomy 42. Great. Deuteronomy 31. That's what you said. All right, so we'll do the whole chapter of Deuteronomy 31. All right, so if you have a Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. If you have a smartphone, you can look at it. I want you just to see these directions, and what I want you to do is I want you to read through this chapter on your own, and then I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit, is this about me going forward? Is this about me going upwards? Is this about me going inwards? Is this about me going outwards? What do you have for me in this passage? So spend a moment, read, and then we will chop it up together, which means talk. So probably take a moment and just start to maybe just ask the Lord, hey, what do you see for me going forward, or me going upward, or me going inward, or me going outward? All right, does anybody want to start? Anyone want to begin? Yes, right. So good. So good. So the what she mentioned for those in the cheap seats, verses 6-8, the idea of be strong and courageous, which actually is a Hebrew battle cry. Whenever the Hebrew nation would go into battle, they would scream out "Rock Shazak," and that was that whole idea of just being, we're not strong in ourselves, we're strong in the fact of the Lord. That's awesome. So that could be like, that could be upward, that could be inward. You're like you said, that could be going outward. Where's God calling me to be strong, courageous? Fantastic. Right here. To Tuesday. Me? Yeah, that's right. That's it. That, we're in Christ. That's right. That's it. That's it. Yeah, good. This side's dominating right now. What about over here? Anyone got anyone? Oh, right there. Yes. It's such a way to go upward, right? In like the songwriting process, that every time you'd hear that song, it would just have this moment to be like, oh, we've drifted, you know? There's seven different Hebrew words for worship in the scriptures. And whenever there you'll see a phrase like sing a new song, in Hebrew it's the word tahila, which is just fun to say. But like you think about Moses writing this song just as a kind of a word of conviction, a song of conviction. So I love that. That's fantastic. That's a great call out. Again, dominating. What else? What else we have? Right back there. Yeah. Whoa. Yes. Yes, that's perfect. Like the assemble of the people together. That's so life together. That's awesome. That's great. That's fantastic. There's another one for the inward for me. It was from verse 27. For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against the Lord while I'm still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel after I die? And I just made me think, like, where are the parts of my story and my life that I'm stiff-necked or rebellious? And it's just like, just, is there anything? And just like, sometimes you'll read something, you're like, Lord, is that for me? You know, like what, where in my life is it just easy to drift or to rebel against your way? Anyone else have one more? Oh, right there, under the umbrella, the Packer fan. Yeah. Ah. Yes. That's so good. Deuteronomy is like a book about remembering, you know, and we're so good at remembering the things we ought to forget and forgetting the things we ought to remember, you know, and that's why Deuteronomy is just constantly remember, remember, remember. All right, one more. Anyone else got one? This is going to be the good one. Oh, right there. Yes. Like he goes before us. Yes, that's so good. I mean, and that's a powerful way of the presence, you know, the pursuing God's presence, but then also the confidence of when we go outward or we do life together, like he's already there. So that's powerful. I love that. I love that. Well, this is just one of the ways that when I study the scriptures, it just helps me just try to see. But this also, if you think about gardening, and they'll have kind of what do they call it when you've got that like post in the ground that's like beside a tree, a stake? Yeah, that's good. It's a trellis. That's what it is. A trellis, right? So often what they'll talk about is something that the ancient desert mothers and fathers would consider and call a rule of life, which is basically like a trellis that would help you grow so that you could bear the best kind of fruit. And oftentimes, like I talked about a couple days ago, is for me, about every 90 days, I just kind of draw this out in my journal and I say, okay, what am I reading? What am I reading in the scriptures? Is it the Gospels? Is it the Epistles? Is it the Book of Psalms? What am I just going to be focusing in on? Because again, nobody drifts towards discipleship. Nobody's like, you know what I really want today is just to be closer and closer to Jesus, and it just happens. It requires a level of effort. And then who am I doing life with in the next 90 days? And for me, that could be who am I mentoring or who's mentoring me? Who are the people in my community that we're doing small group with? But you can't do this life on your own. You need each other. And then upward, how am I pursuing God's presence? And that's typically sometimes through some spiritual practice, maybe through practicing fasting or worship or even just detoxing from social media. But what is your way of going upward to like really create a focus time? And then inward, what work are you doing on your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, so that you can be everything God intended you to be? And then outward, how are you using your time, your talent, your treasures, your story to actually be a blessing to others? And even if you just did this like every 90 days from like now till Labor Day, and just you'll begin to recognize growth because it becomes like a trellis that helps you. So that has nothing to do with the teaching. I just love helping people. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I thought today, I was really convicted recently because I was talking to my friend who's a therapist. And my friend who's a therapist, he makes like $170 an hour, which just people come and sit on his couch and he just listens. And I was like, $170 an hour. And he said this to me. He said, you know, Steve, if you did your job, I'd probably be out of a job. I was like, wow, that's tight. That's tough. Man, I was like, you must be a Packers fan. Why would you say that? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, 85% of the people who come and sit in my office and pay me $170 an hour don't know how to forgive. And most of them are Christ followers. And they don't know how to forgive. So it's like, I got into therapy thinking I was going to help people, but it's like almost every meeting is me sitting with someone, helping them learn how to forgive. And I just feel like this should be a staple of the church. And I was like, wow. I was like, fascinating to me. Because you think like forgiveness should be like the easiest thing for us. But then I started to realize, I think for many of us, we really don't know what forgiveness is all about. And so today I just thought the deeper that we're going to go in Christ, I think the more that it's going to invite us to actually forgive. And one of the greatest gifts that God has given us is actually the gift of forgiveness. If you're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, in Luke 11, I love the way it says it, is that the disciples asked Jesus, hey, teach us how to pray. And whenever you asked a rabbi, teach us how to pray, you weren't just asking, you know, hey, do I close my hands or bring my hands together? Do I close my eyes? How do I do this? When you asked a rabbi, teach me how to pray, you were literally saying, what are you praying that your ministry represents? What's your mission? What's your vision? What do you hope to see happen through your one and only life? And Jesus says in Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6, he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, set apart is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And then he says this line, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven those who are indebted to us. Forgive us not, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, power, the glory forever. But I love this idea that Jesus uses this word forgive, and it's the word aphemi. Now we get the word aphemi back in the Old Testament for the holiest day for the Jewish people. And it was the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And if you ever like have studied Yom Kippur, it's this fascinating scenario. And I just think it'd be like, this would like literally be like a perfect setting for Yom Kippur. And what would happen is they would bring down two goats, and one of the goats would be sacrificed, and then the other goat, all of the sins of the Hebrew nation would be put on this goat, and then the goat would just be led out into the wilderness, never to return again. And it was the idea that, like, here you have placed all of this sin onto this animal, and this animal is just led out. It's got this, like, red cord, and it's led out, and it is this sense of aphemia where you have released and sent away your sin. And this is where the whole concept of a scapegoat came from. But this concept of, like, all of a sudden, this goat, this animal is now taking what I have carried or what I have done or what I'm holding on to, and now it is taking it and taking it away. We were teaching this when I was a pastor in Grand Rapids, and I believe that God is a God of props. I love props. And I thought to myself, you know what we should do? We should totally bring in a goat. So we bring in this goat, and we're teaching people about what this is all about. And we thought it'd be really, really great to kind of set up communion, connect it, the scapegoat to, like, Jesus. And so we had people come up, and they would receive the elements of communion, and then they would walk up, and the goat would be there, and they would literally just, like, almost put their sin, and there was, like, a cross, the goat, put their sin, like, on this goat, on this cross, and then just, like, walk away. Monday afternoon, I get a phone call, and the lady's, like, who I rented the goat from, was like, "What did you do to my goat?" I was like, I don't know. We fed it, put our sin on it, but it's cool. Why? She's like, "It's dead." I was like, what kind of sin is happening in the church in Grand Rapids, you know? So we had to, like, buy this lady a new goat. But I like, it's always stuck with me is, like, the power of, like, sin. Right? The power of the stuff that, like, we actually, like, hold within us. And I think about this. When it comes to, like, the idea of forgiveness, this is one of the greatest gifts that God's given to us, because God never meant for us to be the one who carried all of this in our heart, in our mind, in our body. For some of you, you can think of a person or a scenario or a situation or a person who abused you or hurt you or let you down. You can feel it in your body. You could feel it in your shoulders. You could feel it in your chest. You could feel it in your lower back. You can have these moments of just profound, like, replaying of tapes of what someone said, and it can almost paralyze you. Like, I don't know what to do. Or you could find yourself freezing in a moment, or, like, wanting to fight or wanting to flee, or in other ways wanting to fawn and just try to, like, make everybody happy. It's wild how so much of what is holding our life in check is literally, like, something that someone has said or done unto us. But have you ever thought about this? We are replaying tapes of what someone said to us a decade ago, what someone did to us 15 years ago, what someone let us down, neglect, abandon, whatever it was. Broke our trust, betrayed us, whatever it was, we're holding on to that. And now you have to ask yourself, do you think they ever think about you? Do you think they ever, like, "Oh man, I really said that in 1987 about her. I really did that in 1993. So it's wild. It's not just like the event that actually happened. We're now carrying it and replaying it and almost staying stuck, while the other person who just did the action once is going on and doing their own life. And we're, like, replaying and replaying and replaying and replaying and replaying and replaying. It's like being in the ring with Mike Tyson, and it's just one punch after another punch after another punch after another punch after another punch, and it's just holding us. And you see it. And I think oftentimes what forgiveness ought to be is really a gateway to joy and peace. And you have to ask yourself sometimes, man, why is the church not filled with more joy? Because I think for many of us, we haven't been taught how to release and send it away, how to actually forgive. Interesting, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul uses a different word. He doesn't use the word aphemi. He uses a different word. Look what it says in verse 25, chapter 4. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. And literally, the sin literally means to live less than what God intended. So in your anger, do not choose to live less than what God made you to be. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, or catch up vandalism no more, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul begins to lay out, hey, in your anger, don't do this. Hey, be very cognizant of the rage, the bullying, all of this malice, all of this stuff, the gossip, all of the fighting, all of the anger, all of the stuff that's living within you. If you're going to actually overcome this, you have to learn to actually follow God's example, follow Christ's example, to be kind and compassionate and forgiving others as God and Christ forgave you. Now, the word that Paul uses in that line, forgiving others, he says the word charismai. And charis is where we get the idea of grace. Zomai literally means the grace I've received, I freely give away. So for Paul, this former murderer, persecutor, violent man, blasphemer, as we learn in 1 Timothy, Paul's like saying, every time I have to forgive, it brings me right back to the cross, and I have to remember how I was first forgiven. And when I can understand that I was forgiven, it makes me so much easier. It makes it so much easier for me then to release and send away what another person has done. And I think what's powerful, what Paul is saying is, man, when you do this, it's actually connecting you with the cross. It's connecting you with the way of Jesus. And in that, it is this fragrant offering. Now, I know I told you yesterday about In-N-Out. It's the greatest hamburger that's ever lived. Don't at me. It is. It's fantastic. But here's what In-N-Out did. If you've ever been to California, now they've got them all the way through Texas. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming for us. But when you would drive on the freeway, and I used to work there, and I realized when I started to work there, they had this like over the grill, this thing that would suck up the smell of the grill. And I was like, man, that's really cool. And I just remember like looking at it. And then above like the thing that would just suck up the smell of the grill, then they had a fan, and the fan would tilt out of the roof, and it was strategically positioned to go right over the freeway. So you would be driving in the fast lane, your windows down, listening to music, and all of a sudden you're like, and you would just merge. You didn't even know what you were doing. You just were merging, getting off, and you were having, and it was just like the smell. Paul's saying here, when you actually live like the cross, man, it smells like Christ. When you actually choose to forgive, and there's something in which you are doing that actually really connects you with what Christianity and discipleship and formation and Jesus is all about. But again, I think for so many of us, it's really, really hard to do. After 2018, which was one of the hardest seasons of my life, my family and I, we moved to the desert, and we ended up getting this little cabin, and I just thought, you know what, let's just demo this cabin and put it back together. The problem was, going to Home Depot gives me anxiety because I just feel like I'm not a man whenever I show up there. I go to the parking lot and I just pray, Lord, father me through this. And he always leads me to someone in an orange apron and they're very kind. But I started to like demo this cabin and we started putting this thing back together. And pretty much every day I would go to the Sholo town dump. And I don't know if any of you like going to the town dump. I love it. I love it. I am just incredibly moved by the dump. I just like, it's the funnest thing in the world to me. I would load up the trailer and I just would drive. And this is what would happen at the Sholo town dump is you would drive in and all of a sudden you would come up on a scale and it would weigh you. And then this guy whose name was Tom, but his actual title was the Waymaster Tom, which is just so dope. And the Waymaster Tom would look at me and goes, you got anything toxic in there? And I was like, I don't think so. He was like, well, let me check. And he'd look. And I was like, well, what if I did have something toxic? Not acceptable at the Sholo town dump. And I said, okay, thanks, Waymaster Tom. And then he would take my license. He'd take my credit card. He'd weigh me. And then he would say, go over there, drop your stuff, then come back. Let me weigh you again. I said, okay, Waymaster Tom, and I would drive, and I would then go into this town dump, and it was just this mound, and I would just get up, and I would just try and throw as high and as far, and it just feels so good. It just throwing stuff at this pile, I just felt like a sixth grader all over again. It was great, and then I would get in the car, and I would pull the trailer around, and they would weigh me, and he's like, all right, $13, so fantastic, and I would drive just a lot lighter. And I remember just thinking about this one day because I was studying for a Good Friday message. And one day I never had heard this or learned this at all, but a report had come out is that they discovered that the place that Jesus was crucified in, that many scholars actually believe it was a town dump. And during this time, I started carrying around this small little brown cross. Again, I believe God is a God of props. I need props to like remind me, ground me, center me. And I would have these moments because in 2018, I felt really, really hurt by five people. It wasn't a church. The church didn't hurt me. Five people did. And any time like these five people like came to mind, whew, man, I was like ready to go. I could feel it. And this is the unique thing about unforgiveness. It is like an energy in our body. And I found myself just as I was like studying what forgiveness was about and thinking about Ephemi and thinking about charismai, I came up with this short like little breath prayer that was simply cross, which was charismai, the cross, the grace I received, I freely give away. And Ephemi, which was release and send away. And whenever one of these five people would come to mind, I would just reach my hand in my pocket and just kind of say, cross, release, send it away. And the way that I thought about this was, why do I want this living in my body? I said this verse the other day, like when John 20, Jesus like returns and shows up and he says, peace be with you. And he breathes on them as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says the most common sense line ever. He says, if you forgive, they're forgiven. And if you don't, they're not. It's like your choice. Your choice of, do you actually want your life to look like this cross or not? And here's the wild piece about this. When I was in college, I took Greek, which don't ever do. It's the hardest class ever. And I had this professor. His name was Nofel Staten. It's a real man, real name, K-N-O-F-E-L, Nofel. And before Nofel was a Greek professor, he ran air traffic control at O'Hare Airport. And I'll never forget, in one class, he wore cowboy boots, and he was brilliant, and looked like Kenny Loggins, and he just had like his foot up on a table, and he goes, you want to know what real power is? I was like, what? Real power is telling Delta they can't take off. You want to know what real power is? rerouting United to Milwaukee. You want to know what real power is? Just grounding an entire fleet of planes just because. And I was like, you're wild, man. Like, what? This is what you're talking about power. And he goes, and then he flipped it. I just never will forget this. He flipped it and said, here's what I want you all to do. Give yourself an airport code. I'm like, what? He's like, what's your initials, Steve? I was like, SRC. Great. You're SRC. And I want you to understand something. You are the air traffic controller of your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. And every single day, the enemy wants the past to land in your brain. And why do you let it land in your brain, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul? He's like, you need to reroute that somewhere. So then he asked me, where are you going to reroute it? And I was like, Columbus, Ohio. Can't stand Ohio State. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Favorite Bible verse for the longest time was "Get behind me, Saban." But I find myself thinking about this a lot. Is every single day, right? That unforgiveness is just landing, and it's just like living. And here's the thing that nobody ever taught me is that unforgiveness is a seed. And what that seed of unforgiveness will produce in you is anger, bitterness, gossip, brawling, rage, malice. If you want to know if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, just watch how quickly you get angry. How quickly you start to gossip or talk about somebody else. Because all that is proof that there is something in our heart that we haven't chosen to reroute. As Nofel said, hey, I don't think you should send it to a city. I was thinking something more biblical. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, the cross? I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably a good idea. is that every time when we start to have that is I can't deal with the five people. I can't deal with the person who abused me as a child. I can't deal with that, but I can send that to a place, to the cross, to the judge, to the convictor, to the one who can. And Billy Graham has one of the greatest quotes. He says, "Hey, it's God's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's my job to love." And anything that's going to get in the way of me choosing to love or forgiving, I just think it's a waste of precious heart's real estate and mind real estate and body real estate to keep replaying the old tapes. And so I found myself just carrying this little brown cross. You can get 50 of them on Amazon for like $2.99. But I just carry them around. And every time, and some days, one of the people's names would come to mind, and I would say, cross release, send it away 100 times for that one person. Forgiveness is a process. It's not one and done. I know there's some people who will say, just forgive and forget. Not possible. But you can choose to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And the more that you choose to forgive, what you do is you get all of that toxicity and negativity out of your heart so that if someday, and I'm not saying it's always going to happen, I pray to God it will, that if the other person has done their work and they have been convicted by the Holy Spirit and they know what they've done and they come to you and they say, I'm sorry. If you've done your work, then all of a sudden reconciliation is possible. But if you haven't, you're like, I don't believe them. I don't want them. That's not real. And what's wild is forgiveness is a solo sport. Reconciliation takes more than one person. Forgiveness is about you trusting God with what has landed in you and you rerouting it back to the cross. I was going back to the Sholo town dump, and I had just had this massive basement that we had just like demoed, and I was bringing it up And Saul Waymaster Tom, and he said, anything toxic? I said, no, I'm good, man. And then he took my credit card, my license, and I drove. And I, as I was like throwing all the stuff up into this massive mound and was feeling so good and so much lighter, I reached in my pocket to drive away with and grabbed my keys. But I reached into the wrong pocket and I saw this brown cross. And I just remember like having this moment where I looked up at the mound and I just kind of like put this cross on the top of this mound of just trash and junk. And I just thought to myself, man, isn't that just like what it really is? That every single day, like, we don't have to carry all of this toxic negativity and this sin that has been put onto us. We actually can live freely and lightly. We actually have a place where we can place this. We actually have a person that was willing to take it. My wife used to come up to me all the time when she saw that I was stressed, and she'd just look up to me and she'd go, yeah, that's about right. I was like, what? What are you talking about? Yep, that's about right. I'm like, what? She's like, that's how big your shoulders are. You think you can carry all of what Christ can carry, but you can't. That's how big your shoulders. And I was like, I think they're a little bigger, babe. I think, but she's like, this is how big. Why are you trying to carry what you were never meant to carry? And I think if we were the kind of people who actually chose to follow in the way of Jesus, we just would say, I don't want anything to get in the way of my freedom, my peace, my joy, my happiness. I don't want the past to hold my life in check. And some days, yes, we'll get pulled into that, but that's when I'm going to say, cross, release, send it away, so that I can just continue to walk in more joy and more freedom and not have my friend make $170 an hour. So I don't know about you, but I just wonder, maybe today there might be a person, there might be a situation, there might be a circumstance, there might be a moment, it might even be with yourself. And, you know, gossip is just Plato theologies where you shape and form someone and you get everyone else to believe it. It's just unfortunate that for many of us, we've been taught how to gossip about ourselves. And we start to shape and form because we made a mistake and we're like, I'm so stupid, I'm just not good enough. And we dismiss the imago Dei in us. And I think deep down, when you actually someone at peace and someone who is free and someone who knows how to forgive, it's so much easier to experience the presence and the power of God. And so I just thought we'd just close right now and just maybe just we could just pause. And maybe there's just a posture of maybe you just want to open your hands. For me, I'd love to put my hands over my heart. There's something that just happens when we just pause. You can close your eyes if you want. You don't have to. Just whatever's comfortable. But in that posture, as you stand and sit before the presence of God, just ask the Holy Spirit, is there a scenario, a situation, a person, a moment that's got too much precious real estate in my heart, my mind, my body, my soul? And in your own way, maybe it's just simply saying those three words, cross, release, send it away. It's going back to the cross when you understood grace for the first time. And we didn't deserve it. That cross and that resurrection was for us, to set us free, not so that we had to carry all the other unforgiveness and pain, but to set us free so that we could walk freely and lightly. And in your own way, maybe just release it. Just ask God for the help to release it. And if that person or that situation or that moment or that betrayal or that hurt, that complex trauma comes to mind, just ask God again, Father me through this. Let me release it again. Let me send it away. Don't let it live in my brain. Don't let it live in my mind. Don't let it live in my heart, my body, my soul. All I want is this to be a house of the Lord, a house of the Holy Spirit, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And in that, as you release it away, just ask for God's peace to come over you. A peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that can only come from above. I just feel that exhale, how well that feels within. And just ask the Lord, can I have more of that today, please? Don't let me have my mind fixated on the past or what somebody did. Let me have my mind fixated on grace and peace and what you did for me and even for that other person. God, I pray that we would be the kind of people who walk freely and lightly, who don't have unforgiveness in our heart, but continue to do the work. Let us be a fragrant offering. And when people get around us, it looks, it smells, it feels, it really resembles with the cross, what your son, what you're all about. We love you, we thank you, and all God's people said, amen. Grace and peace.